Power Hour. It's the one. Power Hour.
It's the who.
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power Hour.
It's the one.
Power Hour.
It's the who.
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics.
Every Saturday morning, you need to be tuning in. Wake up, get crushed out your eyes. We about to go live, so come get the schooling in. About our oppression, we answer the questions like, how do we get out this low estate? We let the scripts prophesy. We bringing the Bible to life so that you relate. The world thinks we're rejects, but that word we reject. Watch and we'll show you precept upon precept, line upon line. The scripts say we're the greatest, and they can't debate it. Salvation is only for the blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power, power.
The one.
Power Hour.
It's the who.
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power Hour.
It's the one.
Power Hour.
It's the who.
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power Hour.
It's the one.
Power Hour.
It's the who.
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power Hour.
It's the one.
Power Hour.
It's the who.
Power Hour.
Shalom, shalom, Most High in Christ bless. Welcome to the Wednesday night edition of the Power Hour, where we discuss Native Latin and Black biblical topics. I am your host, Captain Amariah, and this week joining me,
Officer Eleazar.
On the ones and twos, Officer Eleazar. And as you see, all right, we have 1 hour to get this message across, so I'm going to dive right into it. Today's topic, as you can see on the screen, is Rachel or Ratchet? You sisters, you choose ye this day. And listen, if the shoe fits, wear it. And if it doesn't, hey, still put it on. And then self-examine. And then if that ratchet spirit does jump on you, then you have the scriptures to combat it in righteousness.
That's right.
All right. So this class pertains to the married sisters and for the single sisters seeking to get married. All right. Now, I'm sure there's going to be some. I'm going to wait on the Lord. Hey, that's fine. That's fine. But you can still have ratchet attributes as a single sister that doesn't profit the body. All right. So let's start with Isaiah 34, verse 16. Again, it's Rachel or ratchet. Choose ye this day.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 34, verse 16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate, for my mouth it hath commanded. And his spirit, it has gathered them.
So one of the most beautiful things about this truth, about this walk that we take every single day as we continue our repentance, right? Because repentance is continuous, right? It's not just things about this walk that we take with Christ is that he gives us the roadmap. He gives us the blueprint.
Right.
We don't have to lean on our own understanding. The Bible, it's its own dictionary. Thesaurus, glossary, it defines itself.
Right.
So normally we go here and to talk about prophecies and things like that and how the Bible can be melded, which is all 100% accurate. I'm going to take away from that. But when it comes to self-examination and seeing where you fall short, and today is about the sisters, then you can use this book to say, you know what? Do I have the attributes of a righteous woman like Rachel, or do I still have the worldly things that I learned in my carnal mind before I came to this truth, and do I have the attributes of being ratchet?
Right.
But it's only up to you to know. Let's get 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Only you can know. That's why Paul said this here in the book of 2 Corinthians.
The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith.
It says, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, meaning the faith of what? The faith in Christ. And if you're in the faith in Christ, and if you're constantly examining, constantly evolving, then you're going to be sure to always put on the full armor of God and ensure that you do have those attributes that are tied to a righteous woman. It's not to say that we don't all fall short, all right? Because I've been on record saying that I'm more of an Nabal than my wife is not a Abigail, right? It's not to say that my wife is an Abigail by no sense, shape, form, or fashion. But what I'm saying is that we all have things to work on, and the carnal self can creep in, and then it's because, hey, Rachel and Ratchet are very similar in spelling. It's just only one letter off that can make you one or the other. You can't be lukewarm. You can't be Rach. It's either L or it. Are you Rachel? Are you Ratchet? But read it again.
Verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith.
Read on.
Prove your own selves.
It says prove your own selves. You know where you fall short. Officer Eleazar, you know where you fall short. I can't look at you and be like, cigarettes.
No.
I don't have that kind of spiritual discernment. Just like I can't look at a sister and say, oh, Ratchet.
Ratchet.
Right?
Right, right.
Sisters don't come into the school and we go, Ratchet, Rachel, 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 Ratchet, 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 Ratchet. We can't do that because the outward appearance would lead us to believe, oh, that sister's righteous, right? She's here.
Mm-hmm.
Fringes, right? She has the garment. Head wrap is a 3-tier wedding cake size, right?
Right, 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 right.
The most righteous of head wraps come right through here. So we can't look at you and know. Only you can know. But read on.
Know ye not your own self.
So that's the point that Paul's making. You know your own self better than we know you. So examine it. Read.
How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate.
Now, this point I want to really drive home, and I really, really, really want people to understand this. A lot of people in general here in Babylon, right, that are part of IUIC, a part of whatever camp, they're not going to get the kingdom. A lot of people that proclaim to be righteous are not going to get the kingdom, including mostly a lot of sisters. A lot of sisters have been so Babylonianized
right
here in this side of the earth that they have this appearance of righteousness, but they deny the godliness thereof.
Right.
Meaning they never fully evolve into what Christ has called them to be. Now, there's so many scriptures of what a righteous sister is and what an unrighteous sister is. And we don't have time an hour to go through all of them, but we'll go through some. We'll just pick a few here and there. All right. The rest, read and meditate on your own, especially now in this time, right? Since right everything's locked down, you got all this time.
Right.
If you're sitting home screw faced right now, then you're a ratchet and you need to just fix it by applying God's laws, right? From there, let's go to Hosea 4, verse 6.
Book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
So my people of the 12 tribes of Israel, the blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans have been destroyed for not applying God's laws. It's God's laws that tie us into everything. We were destroyed for breaking God's laws. The only way to become undestroyed is to start applying God's laws. Read on.
Because thou have rejected knowledge.
And because we rejected the laws of God, read.
I will also reject thee.
So we were rejected as a people. And again, today's topic is dealing with the sisters. So now, since we were rejected as a people, the Most High doesn't just take away something and then doesn't replace it with something else. He always take something and give something. Always, 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 right, always. So he took that righteousness, that shield from us and left us unprotected. But mm-hmm we still had to learn, because when you read in the book of Ezekiel, it says, hey, listen, we will go and be like the heathen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That lust has always been so deeply embedded within us ever since the time of Genesis that we wanted to be lawless and fulfill our lust and go into idolatry. It's the same thing today. Women with the pants. Like, really, you're going to die a terrible death that's going to last forever, a death that we can't even begin to fathom, because we can't fathom what forever even really is for pants, because you've been consumed into thinking that those are women's pants.
Right.
If those are women's pants, then why do they have a zipper at the front of them?
Exactly.
What are you pulling out when you zip down that zipper? There's no such thing as women's pants. But from there, let's get Revelation 12, verse 14. Let's go to the last book of the Bible, Revelation 12, verse 14.
Book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 14. And to the women were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time.
So now, we know that this was Israel, right? We fled into the different parts of Africa after Roman persecution, okay, in 193 AD. We know this. But the point I'm making from this particular scripture is that it says that when we came into our place, which is here in America, it says that we would be nourished by who?
She would be nourished.
Sorry, I lost that part. Just reading from the top.
All right. And to the woman were given two wings.
So the woman is representing Israel. Read on.
Of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time.
So it said that we would be nourished. But if you read up and start at verse 1, it lets you know that it would be that dragon that's nourishing us as a people. Now, when we think of nourishment, we think of food, right? So I pulled up the definition of nourish, and it says to provide with food or other substances necessary for growth. That's what we think of nourishment, right? In a sense, that's exactly what they did as far as the physical, tangible things they did for us as a people. But the second definition that I want, it says nourish, keep a feeling or belief in one's mind, typically for a long time. So to nourish somebody is also to give them a feeling or a belief that they keep with them. So here in these last days, who taught our women that everything's 50-50?
Right.
There's no such thing as 50-50. First off, let's get that. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. Let's just get that. I didn't even have it written down, but let's get that. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Who taught our women that there's a such thing as 50-50? That's called confusion with God, because with God, there's order with everything. Now, a woman that's seeking the Lord 10 times the more, like she used to seek sin, is going to understand what this says, and she's going to humble down to it. It may be hard, all right? I've never walked a day in the life of a woman's shoes. I don't know what it's like to be a repenting woman. But it can't be easy, because you were giving these different liberties and amenities here in Babylon to just have that stuff be taken back from you. But it's in righteousness. And if you were seeking righteousness and seeking the Lord, then you would humble down to this. Read that. Verse 3.
The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ.
The head of every man is Christ. Every single last one of my brothers, none of us will buck up against the fact that Christ is the Lord and Savior, and he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of the tribe of Judah, the nation of Israel. None of us will buck up against that. Read on.
And the head of the woman is the man.
The head of the woman is the man, but every single woman will buck up against that. And you may not buck up against it with being outwardly so disrespectful, but there's little things that you do, little subtleties that you do, little things that you may say to show that you really, truly don't believe that. Why? Because for 1,000 years, we've been nourished by this man who's taught us, hey, listen, 50-50. Like, I'll give you the perfect example, right? I work with a brother, okay? And he comes into work. He just had a baby, and he's like a young kid. He's like 20. He just had a baby recently, and he comes in tired. Really, really, like, tired. I'm talking, like, looking exhausted every day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, brother, what's going on? Oh, you know, basically, him and his girl got into a fight. She doesn't work. She takes care of the kid. He works.
Mm-hmm.
They got into a fight that he comes home from work, and he doesn't really help her with the kid. So he made her a promise that he would wake up with her every time the baby woke up throughout the night. And I'm like, why would you do that? And he's like, well, because, you know, it's just not her responsibility. I'm like, yeah, sure it is. It absolutely is. You go to work, you make the money, you pay for the bills. She should be taking care of the kid. I know, but, like, she didn't have the baby on her own. It was me too. And I'm like, oh, gosh. That's that Babylonian mindset that she would even think it's okay to even come to him and say, you know what, this is our kid, and you should wake up with me every single time to take care of the kid.
Oh, man.
Not even, hey, let's go in cycles.
Right.
Your turn, my turn, right? Even then, I'd be like, hell no. But still.
Right.
No, every time I get up, you have to get up. And he's just okay with that? Oh, hell no.
I think when I was younger, I had my daughter when I was 20. I think I made that same promise with my wife. I don't know. All I know is I stayed asleep. Even if she woke me up, I slept harder.
And then after that, it's, well, everything's 50-50.
Yeah.
So that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
But read it again. Verse 3.
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I will have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man.
Read.
And the head of Christ is God.
So now, we were not created for the woman, but the woman was created for us. And again, a woman that's seeking the righteous attributes to be a Rachel in this walk, right? Every single sister wants to name themselves Esther and Judith, right? Sarah, Sarai, right? You want to have this righteous name, but you don't put on the righteous attributes. Now, and you know you're a ratchet and not a Rachel if you have the mindset right now, well, what about the brothers?
Right.
Now, listen, I'm going to come up with what's a typical name that we use for brothers? Jake, really?
No, okay.
Pimpin or Peter, something like that. Listen, there's negative attributes that come with brothers too. But listen, this is not that day. This is the day for the sisters, all right? Because there's a lot of work to be done, and we need the sisters to be back in the troops, right? We're only going to go as far as our help is going to allow us to go as well, too.
Right.
We can't rebuild a whole nation with just men. We need the women and children, but they have to play their part in righteousness. From there, let's go to Ezekiel 16, verse 44. Because another thing is, oh, well, you know what? That's just Southern Kingdom sisters, right? Because that rift between Northern and Southern, right? You were raised so easily to just hate somebody because they were a particular tribe, although we didn't call them tribes, right? Northern Kingdom overall is a little bit more in subjection to their men, but that don't mean that they can't be the devil as well, too.
Right.
Listen. My wife is Northern Kingdom, right?
Right.
And the devil can jump on her just as hard as it can with any other Judah sister, Benjamin sister, Levi sister, right?
Facts.
It's just in them. It's just in them, okay? And this is going to prove that. Read that real quick.
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, verse 44. Behold, everyone that uses this proverb shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter.
As is the mother, so is the daughter. So whatever attributes that you have on, because you don't have to teach with your words, you can teach with your actions. So you can say one thing, but then you do another, and that's what that child's going to soak up. And that's why later on we read in things like Titus when it says to love your children, to love your husbands, those things have to be taught.
Right.
Because over a supposition of time, we were taken from those things. It's not to say that you don't have that, you know, that motherly nature to just provide. But that's a big difference between providing what's necessary and going the extra mile and loving that person like how you love yourself. And then we'll get that later on too as well. But read verse 45.
Verse 45. Thou art thy mother's daughter that loveth her husband and her children. And thou art the sister of thy sisters, which loveth their husbands and their children. Your mother was a Hittite. And your father an Amorite.
Hey, the Most High just said that your mother and father were some dusty Africans.
Yeah.
Right? He's insulting the daughters of Israel,
right,
because of the behaviors that they start to display in the last days.
He's saying that your parents are hood rats. Your daddy's a hood rat. Your mama's a hood rat. Your grandmama's a hood rat. That's what the Most High is saying.
That's what it is. But but that's why he sent the prophets in the last days to break that cycle. That's why he sent the teachers and said, this is the way, walk ye in it.
Right.
No longer do you have to be a hood rat.
Right.
Hood rat hoochie mama.
Right.
Now you can choose to be a righteous woman seeking after the Lord. Get yourself a righteous husband and get eternal life. The keys are yours. Just hold on to it. It's like having a lottery ticket that you just can't cash in yet.
Right.
But that's where the faith comes in. And a lot of people lack faith. Now it says, but you are the sisters of thy sisters. Meaning he's talking about Northern and Southern Kingdom. So we're all one of the same. We're the same people. The same way that they look at you or me or Northern Kingdom brother as being inwards, it's the same way that they look at our sisters as being trash, nothing, and hoes.
Right.
It's the same exact thing, right? From there, let's go to Titus 2, verse 3. So now let's get some attributes of what a Rachel should be, right? Attributes of a Rachel. Titus 2, verse 3.
The book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 3. They aids women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given too much wine. Teachers of good things.
So it says that one of the attributes that a righteous woman should have on her is that she should be teaching the younger women. It says the aged women likewise, that she be in behavior as becometh holiness, right? To be holy means to be sanctified and set apart, meaning that you're not afraid to be upholding God's laws, right? That's why Christ said, blessed is he who is not offended in me. there's things that we're going to do and apply and say that pertain to these scriptures that's going to seem out of the norm. And we're going to prove that later on in Peter when it says without amazement, right? We're going to be that astonishment to people when they see us with our fringes and our sisters always wearing dresses and not eating certain things. And then when they say, hey, how come you don't eat pork? Are you Muslim? You say, no, I'm not Muslim. It's just a sin to eat pork. Christ said to not eat pork. No, adios mio, no. He cleansed it. Yeah, are you sure? Because Peter said he never ate anything common or unclean after Christ died and resurrected. So it couldn't mean that, right? Mm-hmm. But it says that the aged women, hold this real quick. Jump over to 1 Timothy 5 and verse 1. We're going right back to Phaethos, my Northern Kingdom brothers and sisters out there. All right, 1 Timothy 5, verse 1.
The book of 1 Timothy, chapter 5, verse 1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren.
So we're supposed to be treating the older men like fathers, and it says, and the younger men like brethren. But read on.
Elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity.
So it says we should be treating the elder women as mothers, right? So the same respect that you would have for your carnal worldly mother, that's how the same attributes that you should be having for the sister that have been here laboring longer than you. Now, don't get simple. Don't be here for 2-3 years and tell somebody, hey, I'm your spiritual father. I'm your spiritual mother. That's not how it works like that. But if you're coming in and you're seeking to become a righteous sister in this walk and you're seeking to become someone that's fit to be married, to bring forth righteous children, to help rebuild the nation of Israel, then you should be coming in here and you should be seeking out the wisdom of the sisters that have been here laboring before you. If you've been here 3 months and I've been here 3 weeks, I shouldn't be coming to you and saying, hey, sis, so when you went through this trial and tribulation, what did you do? No, you should be going to a sister that's been here 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, that have been through things. Because Romans tells you that it's the scriptures, right? It's the tribulations that work experience.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go through things. You can't go to somebody and think you're going to learn something and they've been here 2 days longer than you. It doesn't work like that. Now, you have to come out of that shell, come out of that box, and it's difficult. We as Israel have trust issues, right? We can't – well, some of us, let me just say that. Because some people come in and you know their whole life story, their first day. You be like, hey, Brother Shalom, how you doing? Where are you from? How'd you hear about the truth? And it's a big monologue of,
right.
I'm like, oh, my goodness. Like, you know this person's credit score, social security number. I'm like, oh, okay. All right, brother. I'll pray to sit down. Well, welcome home, right? But go back to Titus and read verse 3 again.
The book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things,
which we know is the scriptures. We know the teachers of good things is what's according to the Lord. Teachers of good things, not your own opinion. Oh, I feel and I think and this is what I should be doing. No, listen, the scriptures stand alone with everything. Now, your personal experiences, yes, they have some type of value to you in this walk. But at the end of the day, the scripture should always speak. It says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God.
Right.
I'm never going to give you what I think and how I feel. No, never that. With patience, I'm going to give answer. And then I'm going to give what the Bible says.
Right.
10 times out of 10, because to hell with what I say. It's the same thing with sisters that are seeking wisdom and learning how to become righteous sisters in this.
Right.
Don't go out to a sister with itching ears because you know she's new and she don't have no damn answers for you. So you're going to get some BS counsel for you to be able to fulfill that lust. That's evil. Go to somebody that you know is not going to tell you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about. Read on, though, verse 4.
Verse 4. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children.
It says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Why would this have to be here in the book of Titus? Why would Paul have to emphasize that if that wasn't the case? Now, we know that Paul also said that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right?
Right.
The Lord doesn't change. The word of God never changes. So if it was good for for the book of Titus back then and those that read this this epistle by Paul, then it's good for us today.
Right.
For us to learn from. Women have to be taught to learn to love their children and love their husbands. Now, a sister may say, no, like, I love my husband. But do you love your husband according to God?
Right.
Because that's what truly matters. Because if you're not loving your husband according to God, then you're not going to get the kingdom of heaven and you're running this race in vain.
Right.
From there, hold that real quick. Hold Titus. And let's get Sirach. 36, verse 24. Sirach, chapter 36, and verse 24. Let me make sure that's what I want. My handwriting is terrible. All right, there it is.
The book of Sirach, chapter 36, verse 24. He that giveth a wife beginneth a possession.
It says, he that getteth a wife beginneth a possession. Right? Now, listen. We know that the ratchet women say, oh, this man don't own me.
Right.
I don't see no rings on these fingers. First off, if you're dealing with a righteous man, then no, you won't have a ring on the finger because that's a heathen custom.
Right.
But you would have paperwork for him to prove that that you are his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's why not being hasty to credit somebody goes a million times more than we can actually begin to even fathom. It takes even more than a year to get to know somebody.
Right.
I've been married 4 years, and then plus the proving process has been 5, and I'm still learning my wife on a daily basis, and she's still learning me. It's a continual thing.
Continual.
Right? But it says, he that getteth a wife beginneth a possession. Now, a woman may take that as disrespect, a woman that's not seeking to be that righteous sister, right? They'll take that as disrespect. No, you don't own me. Listen. When you own something and you possess it, then you see it for its value.
Right.
Then you don't mistreat it. Like, I own my car, right? That's my possession. I don't go around banging my car into things. I don't go around mistreating my car, kicking it, punching it. No, I take it. I get the oil changes, right? I clean it. I take care of it because I value it. That much the more a man and his wife, when the scripture says that you love her like how you love yourself.
That's heavy.
So if you understood that being his possession means that he's going to love you the way Christ loved the church,
right,
then you wouldn't see it as any kind of negative thing, and you would embrace it, and you would humble down to it. But read the second part of that.
A help like unto himself.
A help like unto himself, meaning that you're one mind, one accord. Mm-hmm. You understand the mission. You understand the value in being that helpmeet, like unto himself. That's why in the beginning, it said that of all the people, they all got wives, right?
Mm-hmm.
But unto Adam, there was nobody.
Mm-hmm.
So he said he had to make her an helper, unlike unto himself. She had to be made from him so they could be one mind, one accord, because Adam was the only one given the laws.
Right.
So the same thing like this, a help like unto himself. You see the value in being a wife in this truth. You understand the mission. And you support. Read.
And a pillar of rest.
No, a tower of stress.
A pillar. And a pillar of rest.
A pillar of rest. A pillar of rest. All right. If you don't have that highlighted, double highlight it. And then double highlight it again. You sisters need to learn how to be a pillar of rest. When the door opens, all right, all we hear is a shalom. Give us a kiss and then leave us alone. Let us unwind. That's it.
That's it.
Listen, I know that the car insurance is due because I get the alerts on my phone. I know that the rent's due because I get the email sent to my phone. I don't need to know about things that I already know.
Right.
I don't need to know about any kind of stresses outside of just, hey, shalom, how you doing? Can I get you anything?
Huh.
Right? But no, it's listen. I'm not saying I need hours, but give me like, you know, an hour or so to unwind. And then let me ask you, hey, you know, how's your day?
Right.
How was your day? Go ahead. All right. Now, some brothers are different. Some people want to come in and hey, you know, how you doing? How's this? How's that? How's this? That? How's that? I ain't like that, though. Like, I like to just be left alone.
That's it.
All right. But it says to be a pillar of rest. Right. It's not just being quiet when the man gets home and waiting for him to unwind. It goes much more than that. Being a pillar of rest is being that support, being supportive of that brother. You may have a brother that's in a situation where he has a job that he doesn't like, where he's not making the money that he feels adequate to support you and him. right? So rather than just always being in his ear, oh, you need to make more money.
Yeah.
You need to be bringing this into the house. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, have you thought about doing this? Of course he's thought about all those things.
Right.
You need to just play your position and be supportive. It's not to say just fall back and all of a sudden the lights go out, you don't say nothing, and then there's no food in the fridge and you don't say nothing, right? Yes, but be supportive, all right? Be that pillar of rest. Don't do it in a way where it's tearing his spirit down.
Grievous.
Exactly. Where the brother is now sitting in his driveway having a beer before he comes inside because he doesn't want to come inside and then face the mouth of that dragon.
What's that scripture? With the walk around with the scorpion in his hand.
Oh, no, yeah. We're going to get that.
Okay.
From there, let's get... Hold on, let me see. Read verse 25, though. Verse 25.
Verse 25. Where no hedge is, there the possession is spoiled.
It says where no hedge is, there the possession spoils. All right? Meaning where there's no protection, where that man is, that possession, that woman, she's going to spoil. Whether a woman wants to admit it or not, it's in her spirit to want to be led by a man. And a sister may, again, if you're saying no, that means you have the ratchet spirit.
Right.
Because the same way that you're in subjection and submission to your Edomite boss at work, in the same way that you just do what you're told, and then now the answer is, well, no, I do that because, you know, I'm getting the monetary gain. He's giving me a tangible reward. So how much the more should you not be in submission to someone that the Lord calls the finest gold of Ophir? You may not see him like that, but that's why it says on that day, seven women will take hold of one man, because they're going to remember the reproach. They're going to remember how they treated the sons of God on that day and say, damn, I really effed up on this one. You know what? I'll eat my own food. I'll wear my own raiment. Let me just be called by the name of Officer Eleazar.
My wife is watching.
You be like, shut up. Hey, so was mine. Hey, guess what? On that day, if you're lucky, you'll be number seven, sweetheart.
All praises.
Fix your face on that one. But that's how it is. The same way that we're striving is the same way that they should be striving even that much the more, because they don't get their reward until we get our reward. Be that pillar of rest. But it says where there's no hedges, the possession spoils. Read.
And he that has no wife will wander up and down the morning.
From there, let's go to 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9. 1 Timothy 2, verse 9. See, look, my wife just commented, all praise is Lord's will. Now when she's like, ugh, gosh. Here he goes, showing off. Showing off because he has the power hour. All right, read that. 1 Timothy 2, verse 9.
The book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 9. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly arrays.
So it's not to say that a woman can have those things, all right? Because like the same way that brothers like to dress nice and feel nice, right? Because if you look good, you feel good. And if you feel good, you get good results.
That's it.
That's the same confidence that we want to instill in our sisters. That's why we tell them, listen, modesty is beautiful. There's nothing more beautiful than a covered up, modest, righteous sister.
Right.
That's beautiful.
Right.
It's not because we say it's beautiful, because God says it's beautiful.
That's right.
Now, hold on real quick. This came to me real quick. Let's go to Wisdom of Solomon. Wisdom of Solomon chapter, hold on real quick. Where's it at? Oh, chapter 13, verse 3. Wisdom of Solomon 13, verse 3. And then we're going to go back to 1 Timothy 2.
The book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 13, verse 2.
Yep. No, verse 3.
Verse 3. With whose beauty, words are fading away. Being delighted, took them to be gods. Let them know how much better the Lord of them is, for the first author of beauty hath created them.
It says the first author of beauty hath created them. Let you know that it's the Lord that's the author of beauty. So when the Most High ordained Christ to create everything, because Christ was the first creation, and then Christ was was the paintbrush that did everything else.
That's right.
It says the Lord is the author of beauty. So when you were created with that dark melanin, that's beautiful. When you're given that natural curly hair, that's beautiful.
Right.
But again, that's why we read the definition of being nourished, right? Having that belief that lasts with you a long time. Having that belief that, no, God's not the author of beauty, but it's Esau that's the pinnacle of perfection.
Right.
The white man's the pinnacle of perfection. Why is the most beautiful man or woman that's voted every year always a heathen? Because they instill into us from youth. That's why they have those social experiments. Hey, which one's the ugly doll? Which one's the pretty doll?
Main point, not the white doll.
So as we reverse these things that we're taught ever since Willie Lynch, it's up to us to be instilling this into our sisters who can now teach their children. Sister, you're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You're beautiful. It's true.
But that's heavy what you're saying, Captain, because a lot of our sisters do fashion themselves after a white woman. The blonde hair, the bleach of the skin,
mm-hmm.
the blue eye contacts, whatever.
Right.
They do that because they want to be fashioned at the thing that they say what is beautiful, which is insane. You're not supposed to envy the oppressors.
No, right. And then it's because we've been dumbed down and taught that we were basic for so long that any type mm-hmm. of attention, we just seek it. Whatever validation that we can get, that's what we seek as a people. But we have to be seeking the validation of the first author of beauty, which is the Lord. Now, let's go back to Timothy 2 and read verse 9 again.
The book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 9. And like manner also, that the woman adore themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety.
Stop. It says that the woman adorned themselves in modest apparel. That has been lost amongst our people for years.
Thanks.
And what's crazy is that if you pull up any kind of pictures from like the 60s, 70s, 50s, whatever, our women didn't dress the way they do now. Pants and things like that is a new thing in the earth. You know what else is a brand new thing in the earth too? When someone says, hey, here, take a picture of us. So you grab that person's camera, and the first thing the sister does is what? She turns to the side.
Mm-hmm.
Why is she doing that? That's not being modest.
It's not.
That's putting that lust demon on somebody else. Now, listen, you can have the form of godliness because there's sisters that come in here too wearing dresses. But then they're all super skin tight to the hips. You can see the form and everything else. That's not being modest.
Right. It's funny, Kat, because I was speaking to my niece a couple months ago because she was walking out the house. She's 20, but she's walking out the house wearing like booty shorts, basically nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, me being an uncle, and of course, I'm rooted in the scriptures. Yo, that's not modest. Yo, you're not supposed to be dressing like that. You're supposed to have respect for yourself.
Right.
She said, Uncle, this is 2020. I said, well, you're dressing like you're representing for the 99-2000. Like, you need to make sure, like you got to understand, like, you want to attract the men that's going to respect you, not what you got out.
No, right. Listen. Back when I was in the world and I would go out to Westgate and do my thing in the clubs or whatever, there's never one time where I went out and was like, man, dang, look at that girl right there. Mm-hmm. Yo. I'm going to approach her. I'm going to offer her a non-alcoholic beverage because I want her to keep her wits about herself and be sober so we can have an engaging conversation so I can invite her to breakfast tomorrow and then introduce her to mom. That conversation never went down.
False.
Right. That's way false.
Yeah.
No, you look for someone that's dressed super immodest, right, because mm-hmm. it's the eye candy.
Exactly.
And then you hit it and quit it. You toot it and boot it. That's it, right? That's it. That's all we wanted. Let's go to Sirach 36 and verse 22. Sirach 36 verse 22. So now again, this particular scripture, again, this is for married sisters and for sisters that are seeking that righteous Lord. All right. Sirach 36 verse 22.
Sorry.
Sirach chapter 36 verse 22. The beauty of a woman cheers the countenance.
Bro, read it again. And mean it. I need you to mean this thing when you read this.
The beauty of a woman cheers the countenance.
Mm-hmm.
And a man loves nothing better.
You see what the scripture says? Mm. It says the beauty of a woman cheers the countenance. Mm. Bro, I can be having the worst day. And I come home to my wife and she's all done up, smiling. And the thing dissipates. It just melts away. It's not to say that I'm still not pissed off, but it makes it that much better coming home to a beautiful woman. it cheers the counsel. It says, and a man loves nothing better.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to go with makeup. You can just walk in the door and she's just smiling at you. That just, okay.
Listen, my wife's been doing a whole lot better lately in all praises, right? She makes sure that when I come home, you know, she's dressed and has her hair done, everything else. It's great. I love it. But there was many a times when I walk in and I thought I was on the scene of like dead presidents. And I'm like, you know, I'm walking in and she's wearing a face mask or something. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. And I'm like, you know, and there's no sin in it. But the Rachel will apply this scripture and like, you know what? He's on his way home. Let me carve aside a quick little 30 minutes and get myself ready and looking presentable for him. Hmm. Or, hey, I'm almost home. Let's run to Walmart real quick. Oh, I'm not dressed. I'm at this. I'm like, oh, gosh. If you were doing this, then you would just do that. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Right.
Read it again from the top. Read it again.
The book of Sirach, chapter 36, verse 22. The beauty of a woman cheers the countenance, and a man loveth nothing better.
Sisters, take heed to this, right? It's not here as a suggestion. This is not the book of the suggestions of God. This is the book of the commandments of God. It's written here because the Lord knows his creation. He knows that a man that comes home to a sister who he loves and who he's taken the authority over as that possession to care for, he wants her done up when he comes home. That way he can share his countenance. Because we may not go outside of the protection of our four walls and hear N-word or whatever negative slurs they have for us. We may not hear that. But the way that we're just treated in general, how they throw subtle jabs at us, at our jobs, how we're passed over for different positions, every little thing, how we're just treated differently from all the other nations because of who we are. It's a constant battle with us, and our spirits always being tested. And something as simple as throwing on a little bit of makeup and doing your hair before we walk into that door can go a long way. If any sister have an ear, let her hear. From there, let's go to Sirach 25 and verse 1. Sirach 25, verse 1.
Sirach. Chapter 25, verse 1. In three things I was beautified and stood up beautiful both before God and men.
So in these three things, it says that it's beautiful, not just before man, but before God. That's who we're here to look beautiful before. The things that are beautiful and pleasing unto the Most High, that's what we want to condition our spirits to be doing on a daily basis, on a moment-to-moment basis. Because you don't know when that grace period is up. And you don't want that grace to run out and you be in the midst of sin. Because you never know when it runs out. Because it says the righteous shall scarcely be saved. So from moment to moment, you have to be examining and make sure that you're walking uprightly according to the Lord. We'll read on.
The unity of brethren.
It says that's beautiful to the Most High God. The unity of brethren. When we can come together and we can be focused on the mission, doing the Lord's work. And that's beautiful to God. Read.
The love of neighbors.
Read.
A man and a wife that agree together.
It says that it's beautiful between God and man, in the sight of God and man, a man and a wife that agree together. And it's not just, listen, I'm thinking Philly cheesesteak tonight. What are you thinking? Oh, snap. A man and a wife that agree together. I thought the same thing. Yeah. Okay.
I think that's impossible. If I ask my wife, what do you want to eat? I don't know. What do you want to eat?
It's like that scene from Notebook when they took it and made it it's like a parody.
Yeah.
At the end when he's like, "What do you want? I don't know. What do you want? I don't know." And it's like every woman when you ask them what they want to eat.
Facts.
I told my rib, I said, "Listen, don't ever let me ask you what's for dinner and you say I don't know. Have at least have options, and then let me choose."
Right.
Or just say, "Hey, I'm gonna make this," and if I'm not feeling it, then I'll say, "No, you know what? I'm thinking this instead."
Right.
But it should never be, I'm walking to the door, and it smells like cleaning products, but not like food in here. What's going on? Oh, yeah, I'm a cook right now. So, by the way, what do you want to eat? Mm-mm. Mm-mm. But when it says that a man and a woman that agree together, it's talking about being in the agreement, one mind, one accord in this walk. Understanding your role as a wife and him understanding his role as a husband. And you being that pillar of rest and not that tower of stress to be helpful to the mission. Again, we can't say it enough. Women are absolutely vital to the rebuilding of the nation of Israel. Who do you think is going to raise the young men and the young women to be the next generation, to be that example? You guys are. You guys are the ones that are going to take and mold those youthful minds, those sponges, because that's what they are. But you have to be in the right spirit to be able to do that. From there, let's go to Sirach 26, verse 1. Sirach 26, verse 1.
The book of Sirach, chapter 26, verse 1. Blessed is the man that hath a virtuous wife, for the number of his days shall be doubled.
So now, I don't have any Proverbs 31 scriptures on here, all right? But sisters that are seeking to get their spirits right with the Lord, I would highly suggest you go in there and you read Proverbs 31. I believe it was the Las Vegas camp. They came out with these little armbands that said Proverbs 31 in training. And I used to love that thing because that's what it is, right? No sister has it completely down yet. The scripture says that we all have sin. If you say you don't, then you deceive your own self, right? But I would highly suggest meditating on Proverbs 31. But it says, blessed is the man that has a virtuous wife, for the number of his days shall be double, right? That means that you're going to bring that joy to his life. You're going to bring that good health to his life because you're virtuous. You understand your role as a righteous woman. Read on, verse 2.
Verse 2. A virtuous woman rejoiceth her husband, and he shall fulfill the years of his life in peace.
You see that? He shall fulfill the years of his life in peace. Not in agony, not in anguish, not in stress. It said, but in peace. It's not to say there won't be stressful moments.
Right.
Because as much as my wife and I agree, we still have arguments. Mm-hmm. It happens. Paul said there will be troubles in the flesh. If anybody says that their marriage is perfect, they're liars.
Lies.
There's something that goes on every single day in every single marriage. It may come at different levels, right? But there's always something there. But it says that, but if you're seeking out the Lord and you're being that virtuous woman, it says that your husband will now fulfill his days in peace. Read.
Verse 3. A good wife is a good portion, which shall be given in the portion of them that fear the Lord.
So when you come into that proving process, sisters, of getting to know a brother, make sure that you ask questions. Because you know a brother fears the Lord by his actions. And that's why we suggest, there's no commandment that says, hey, you have to wait a year. But we give the suggestion, hey, wait a year, because it takes at least that long for that representative to come off.
Right.
It takes at least that long for that covering to now to come down and say, oh,
right.
Man, this is what I married? Oof, jeez.
Facts.
Oof. I was not expecting this.
Right.
Hey, babe, but it's yours. That's it's yours. Take it. Read verse 4.
Verse 4. Whether a man be rich or poor, if he have a good heart towards the Lord, he shall at all times rejoice with a cheerful countenance.
So whether that man be rich or poor, all right, whether he's making minimum wage because that's all that he can do right now, support that man.
That's
of
it.
Course, encourage him to do better, right? Encourage him to do better, of course. But whatever lot that the Lord has given that man, whatever portion for that time being, then support him. Don't be that tower of stress that's reminding him that, hey, you know what, you're making minimum wage. Listen, I know that. You know what I was thinking about today, right? If you're in a position, sisters, where you're both working minimum wage, let's say you're both working in fast food, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, all right? I'm going to get emails. Captain Mariah said that you can't work in fast food. Listen, the Lord says we're all subject to payments. However you get that money, legally, right?
Yeah.
Legally. Then do it, right? But if you're both working in a position where you're living paycheck to paycheck and it's causing strife and arguments and it's causing you to jump out the spirit and not respect your husband as unto the Lord, to not be in subjection to your husband as unto the Lord because you want to live like the Joneses.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see, oh, well, this brother got this and this sister got this and this sister's Lord does this for her.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're comparing the two. So now there's that sense of resentment now starting mm-hmm. to set in. And it starts with subtle things. And then it becomes manifested so much that now you're now rendering evil for evil.
Right.
here's the heavy point, right? That's not loving your neighbor like how you love yourself.
No.
You ain't going to get the kingdom. So that fast food job that you had that you hated so much, that you loathed so much, that is your kingdom.
Right.
That's the best the Lord's ever going to give you, because you ain't going to get the life to come.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know that this is only for a supposition of time and you have faith that the Lord's going to come back and deliver the righteous, then you should always strive to do better, but be content with what you have. Right. As long as you have the chief things in life.
That's it.
Again, people get confused. Oh, well, I have achieved things. I'm content. No, always strive for better.
Of course.
But if you have the achieved things, if the next person's having, let's say, a ribeye, and you got a Salisbury steak, it's still the chief things in life. Just pray that the Lord provides a little better, and then you can one day have that ribeye.
No,
you eat that Salisbury steak with joyfulness. At least you got something.
But if you're that bitter sister. That's now rendering evil for evil, and you're withholding blessings from your household, then this is your kingdom. Everything you see going around right now, all this pestilence and all this perilous times going around, this is the best you're ever going to do, because you're going to die and not get the kingdom of heaven.
Yes, sir.
So if you know that, then that much the more should you be striving to be this righteous example. Let's go to Proverbs 7 verse... No, you know what? 2 Timothy 3 verse 5. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 5.
The book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the powers thereof.
It says that a lot of brothers and sisters, because again, this is a class dealing with the sisters, what attributes do you have right now? Are you striving for that righteous sister, or are you continually following and backsliding into the attributes of what modern society would call someone that's ratchet, right? Now, it says having the form of godliness. So a sister may come in here again with a nice dress on, right, with the fringes, the head wrap, and shalom, right? Bow so low, you can hear her back crack, right? Always the first one volunteering for this and doing
right,
this.
Right,
this is righteous. But if behind closed doors, you're now that sister that's putting on these other attributes that we may read about, a few of them, then you're denying the power thereof. You just have that form of godliness, and you're not going to get the kingdom. You're running the race in vain. You have to submit yourself to your own husband as unto the Lord.
That's right.
The same way that we would be in subjection if Christ said, hey, do this, do this, do this, without even a thought, just do it. That's the same way that the sisters need to be. And if you're not married and you're striving to be that, then you got to rehearse that righteous act and be like that amongst the men and the brothers. Bro, I tell the story all the time. My first time I ever went out to headquarters out of New York, I'm talking to a brother and a sister walks by. And I didn't even think twice about it. I was just like, hey, sis, will you give me a water, please? And she went,
what?
And I was like, what the hell?
Damn.
And then like the brother I'm talking to was like, man, hey, man, I'm sorry about that, officer. Here, I'll get you water.
What?
Yeah. And I was like, what? Like, is that really how sisters are rolling? I was like, oh, my goodness. What if I'm walking by in crisis, like, you go get me water. And I'm like, get your own water.
Damn.
What? It'd be heads rolling that day. I was, man, bro, I didn't even know what to say. I was like this. Stood there, lips were just got even more dry. I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, really?
Yeah,
we got a long way to go, bro. We got a long way to go.
So you went to headquarters, New York?
Yeah, and that's what she told me. She said,
she had some Timberlands on, huh?
Oh, God.
Nah, son. Get your own water, son.
Nah, son. You ain't thirsty. Not today. So then the first time I went to Texas and met my wife in person, right, like before we start proving each other, she walked by. Hey, sis, give me a water. She came right back with it. And I was like, winner. Winner. All right, from there, let's go to Proverbs 7, verse 10. I'm not going to get to go through a lot of the scriptures that I have written down, but I will say what they are. That way the sisters can just meditate on them. In Proverbs 7, verse 10. I was reading a post the other day. It said, what did it say? A empty vessel makes the most noise.
Damn, that's deep.
Right? I said, damn, that's heavy. Right? So for you sisters, understand this. If you're not filling that vessel with what it needs to be filled with. And I'm talking about the righteous fruit, the righteous attributes that we were told in the beginning that we can eat freely of, right? The patience, the love, the temperance, those things, the joy, the long suffering. If you're not filling your vessel with those things, then your vessel is going to remain empty.
Right.
An empty vessel makes the most noise. And I was like, man, that is so true. But read that. Proverbs 7, verse 10.
The book of Proverbs, chapter 7, verse 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart.
So it says, behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot. When you read in the book of Sirach 19:29, it tells you that a man may be known by his looks. You know that someone's a police officer because they wear a uniform, so on and so forth, for firemen and doctors and everything else. You know the attributes of a person by how they're dressed. No one's going to walk into anywhere wearing booty shorts with both their cheeks hanging out, a shirt that comes so high that the bottom of her breasts are hanging out.
Right.
The front's cut so you can see her cleavage. No one's going to see that and say, oh, man, I bet she's a lawyer.
And it's wintertime.
Right. And it's wintertime.
Yeah.
No one's gonna see that and think any kind of positive thing. You're going to tie that to some kind of negative connotation. Oh, right. She must be a hoe.
Most definitely.
Maybe she's not. But how can one not only assume by the way that person is dressed, right? But read verse 11.
She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her home, not in her house. Now, you want to keep reading?
No. It says she is loud and stubborn. That's the point that I wanted right there. That empty vessel, that sister that's not going to fill her things with the things that God said to fill up your vessel with.
Mm-hmm.
It says she's loud and stubborn. So now these are a few of the attributes of that ratchet sister. Now, there are some sisters that come in like this and they are just openly loud and stubborn, like amongst the body, and you see it. But then there's the other ones that have the form of godliness and it's behind closed doors.
Right.
That's why when something's come out during class, brothers don't want to be looking around, right? Brothers won't look at their wives. Man, the first, huh, right? That's when they start really looking at their Bible, like, okay, yeah. Double highlighting. Nah, hell no. When things are getting brought out in class by either Captain Joshua or our bishop, the first thing I do is look right at the women to just see, because you can see it. I'm like, oh, that one's fighting a demon right now. And I'm like, this, just let that butter sink into that biscuit. Just absorb it. You have to absorb it. From there, let's go to Sirach chapter 26, verse 9. 26, verse 9.
The book of Sirach, chapter 26, verse 9. The whoredom of a woman may be known in her haughty looks and eyelids. Keep on.
It says that a woman may be known by what?
The whoredom of a woman may be known.
The whoredom of a woman. We read earlier that a woman is supposed to adorn herself in modest apparel. The way that a woman dresses speaks volumes of herself. And then here's the thing, too. There's this negative connotation of, so what? Like, I can't dress nice? Like, really?
That's nice.
Like wearing a modest dress is not nice?
Right.
Like, man, listen, I didn't know fashion until we started doing fashion shows amongst Israel.
No.
I was like, yo, like the sisters can really do their thing. All praise to the Most High in Christ for this. So it destroys these like negative things that they get tied to us. Oh, are you guys that cult that all dress the same? Oh gosh. But read it again.
Verse 9. The whoredom of a woman may be known in her haughty looks and eyelids.
From there, go to Sirach, chapter 42, verse 9. So it says that the whoredom of a woman will be known in her looks. You can know by the way that she's not shamefaced and all up in a man's face talking to
him. Right.
Then you'll know that woman was not taught the way of the Lord. Or she's yet to apply the things that she's learning in the Lord. All right? Drop that real quick. Let's go to Philippians 2, verse 12. I'm going to go and wrap it up. Yeah, the hour went by so fast. I have like to go into.
Two verse 9.
I might have to make this into a part 2 and just do part 2 on just all the ratchet attributes, because the whole hour took just all the Rachel attributes. 2 verse 12.
Philippians chapter 2 verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only.
So now this is what the Apostle Paul was writing to the church of Philippi. He's letting them know, listen, the same way that you obey in my presence, read.
But now much more in my absence.
It's the same way that when you're not around other brothers and sisters to hold you accountable for your actions, you should be that much more the righteous, because the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are 10,000 times brighter than the sun.
Right.
So you're being watched that much the more when you think that you're alone and by yourself, and when you're disrespecting your husband, or when you're just amongst your unrepented family and unrighteous friends, and you're sliding back into those ratchet ass attributes that the Lord said, hey, come out of those things.
Right.
But read on.
Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
It says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I'm going to close it with that scripture specifically, because a lot of sisters will use the actions of their husband as an excuse to render evil for evil.
Right.
There, it's not going to be, okay, I'm standing at in front of the judgment seat holding my wife's hand, and he's going through the books and saying, hey, sis, you jumped out the spirit here. Why? Well, because he said this. It don't work like that.
Right.
All you can do, sisters, is be blameless.
Mm-hmm.
Is be blameless. All right. You have to be that Abigail. Be blameless and let the Lord do everything. Now, that doesn't mean go into the room, go in the closet, close the door, and be like, God, please kill him. don't pray for that.
No.
Right. But don't render evil for evil. Seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Be blameless. Put on the things that pertain to you as becoming a righteous woman, and then let the rest take care of itself.
Right.
There is attributes in the book of Sirach 26, as well as the book of Sirach 25, as far as the negative things that our sisters are not supposed to be like in this truth. So if you want to continue to read those things, then read those things. All right. But that wraps up this week's show. Lord's will, next week I can be on one more time. Lord's will, life lasts. All right, this is the host that never does the most, because the scripture says you can never go too far in serving the Lord.
That's it.
Right? Tune in on Saturday afternoon. We have the Power Hour once again with myself and the captains, all right, and along with the producer on the ones and twos, Officer Ashaya. I pray this lesson was edifying. Again, I'm sorry I got cut short, but the hour really does fly by. Maybe we'll make it the power hour and a half next time. We'll see. But with that, we say shalom.
Shalom.